This is the Six Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast, with your hosts, Luke Sylvia and Jonathan Osborne, covering all things Magic basketball. By fans, for fans. Go Magic! What is going on, Orlando Magic fans? You guys are back with the Six Man Show. It is May 10th, 2021. As always, I am joined by my co-host, Luke Sylvia. Luke, how was Lauren's first Mother's Day?
Oh, man, it was great. We kind of partially celebrated Saturday, meaning I just got her some gifts, mainly chocolate-covered strawberries, which are she's a big fan of. She doesn't really like flowers too much, so I've learned that food is much more the way to her heart, which is great for me, because I know food a lot more than I know flowers. So it was good. Then yesterday was pretty normal. We went to church, then ended up going for a late lunch to one of our favorite Hispanic restaurants around here and got some strawberry margaritas. It was a happy hour all day, so it was good. It was a good time. We had a really good weekend. So what about you? This is Carmen's third Mother's Day? Second? Third?
I don't even know. It's so hard to keep track. I think it's second, so 2019, 2020, and 2021. No, so yeah, this is the third. Holy crap. Yeah, we're like 5-6 months away from having a 3-year-old, and we're like 4 months away from having a 1-year-old. So kids grow up fast, man, and the time flies. We just, you know, we did the beach thing low-key, came back to the house. Carmen just wanted to, like, lay out by herself, you know, tan for a little bit. Yep. So I let her do that, try to occupy the kiddos as best as possible. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday, yeah, we did the church thing, as always, every week. And then we're looking into moving. So we were looking at some houses. So, yeah, man, tons of fun. The Orlando Magic week was not as fun, unfortunately. And we're going to get right into that here. So the Magic went 1-3 on the week with a loss. Well, with a win, actually. Started the week with what we would call a bad win, Luke, at Detroit, 119-112. The Magic tried to lose that game, but literally just could not. And then the return of Steve Clifford on Wednesday, the Magic lost at home to Boston, 132-96. I was at that game. Being there was fun. The game itself was not really fun. Being there for Evan Fournier's tribute, that was pretty cool. And then you lose to Charlotte, 122-112.
Was it better than your time with the Tampa Raptors when you went to Tampa?
I had a much better time at the Magic game. Yes, I would definitely say that. Yeah. That a kid that I'm friends with, who he's gone to quite a few Tampa Raptors games. I saw that he posted, like, Tampa needs an NBA team, and I was like, absolutely not. There was just no energy in that arena. I saw a video of Fred VanVleet. It was some commercial that he did talking about how he can't wait to get back to Toronto, and all the reasons that he listed is just like, Tampa is basically the worst place on earth. Like, the food sucks. The people are mean. It's dirty here. It's not clean. Like, screw you, Fred VanVleet. You and Kyle Lowry can go back to Toronto. And then the Magic lost last night to the Minnesota Timberwolves, 128-96. That game was just absolutely atrocious. One of the worst games that I've seen in a long time. And you might have been able to tell that with my post-game, somebody kill me, please. The Adam Sandler video from The Wedding
Singer. If you haven't seen it, it's on Twitter and Instagram.
Facebook.
Great performance. Great performance. Facebook as well, at Six Man Show. So, I noticed is that one of your new jerseys that you got on there?
It is, sir. I got the J.I., I believe this is the statement jersey that they've worn for, is it the past two seasons now? I'm pretty sure it's the past two seasons. They had the BOGO at the arena for the statement and the city jerseys. So I'm guessing this is the last year we're going to see this statement jersey. And then obviously next year there will be a new city jersey. So the last few games of the year, they're trying to kind of clean house. So Carmen actually got a brand new Cole Anthony city jersey. And then I got the Jonathan Isaac statement jersey. The only jersey that she had at the beginning of this season was a Aaron Gordon Stars jersey from the 2016-2017 season, I believe. And then she might have had I think it was an Aaron Gordon Pride jersey, those ugly gray Adidas ones with the sleeves. So she only had two jerseys. Yeah. They're both Aaron Gordon, so we're like, it's time to upgrade.
Get rid of the Aaron Gordon ones, you know?
Yeah. Thanks, Denver.
Thanks, Denver. But
all right, Luke. So, you know, what's that? Did you have something?
No, I had nothing.
Were we
I
just going to continue to badmouth Aaron Gordon? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, we could have.
So we're going to get into the tankathon here. I'm not putting on the hat. Luke. I know you want me to put on the helmet, but I won't.
I do, but you're...
So right now, the Magic are tied right now in the bottom four with Cleveland, Minnesota, and Orlando, three-way tie. Each of those teams, 42.7% chance to end up in the top four as it is today. With a 10.7, for some reason, Minnesota has a 10.6% chance of ending up number one overall. So before this week, I didn't really understand the way that tiebreakers work. I kind of just thought it was like playoff tiebreakers, like whoever has the better head-to-head record kind of ends up above. But when it comes to the lottery, it doesn't work like that. Basically, what it sounds like is the league basically like does a coin flip between teams to see who's going to fall like above and who's going to fall below and things like that. So if it comes down to like a 3 or a 4 or like a 5-way tie in the lottery, like absolute chaos is going to ensue to find out like who's going to have what odds for the lottery. They'll have to do these tiebreakers before the lottery. So right now, Houston is number one. Nobody's catching them. And then Detroit, we beat Detroit on Monday, which kind of screwed us a lottery odds perspective. Let's talk about that really quickly, Luke, because people were like chastising the Magic for not trying to lose that game when they absolutely were trying to lose that game. The fourth quarter of that game, none of the starters played a single second. I think our five was like RJ Hampton, Ignas Brazdeikis, Mo Wagner, Chasen Randle, and was it Mo Bamba out there? I forget what the five was, but like Ty Corbin was absolutely trying to lose that game.
Yeah, I mean he tried, and a lot of people coming at the players, which was weird. You know, going at RJ Hampton, you know, the way that it's been described is like these dudes aren't going to tank themselves. Like they're not going to tank so they can bring in a better guard to replace them. So I see you've got your tank commander helmet on. I appreciate you doing that for me.
You made me feel guilty.
It's the last time of the regular season. I'm sure we'll see it bust out a little bit before June 22nd when we do our simulation. So I appreciate that. It's a good gesture. You know?
I was thinking of, you know, like wearing this to wherever I go to watch the draft party, but I feel like it just might cause like bad karma. Like I don't know that the basketball gods would pay off, you know, like me wearing a tank helmet there, like so blatantly. I feel like we should just, you know, count our luck at that point and let the chips fall where they may. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, I get it. You also just don't want to, even though I think it's hilarious, you know, you might not want to just wear that around. Then it's a bad night.
Oh, I don't care.
I
don't
care about
that at
all. Throw off
your
tank helmet. Yeah, but then it's a bad night and you have to throw your tank helmet across the bar, you know.
Yeah, that's a legitimate possibility, actually. The embarrassment,
I think
it's not
in your
so
best
much,
interest
but
not to wear it.
Me taking it off and hurling it and causing, you know, either personal harm or it's harming to someone else or property damage, that's probably pretty possible. So maybe we won't do that, but we'll wear it when we run the draft lottery simulation here. So. Luke, let me go ahead and share my screen. Obviously, the folks at home listening don't have the privilege to witness my desktop here. Are you able to see my screen, Luke?
Yep, I gotcha.
All right, so again, we've got Houston 1, Detroit 2, OKC 3, and then Cleveland, Orlando, Minnesota all there tied for 4. And then right now, Chicago is sitting at 8 with Toronto sitting at 7. So everyone knows the rules. You get one spin of the wheel here. If you spin it more than once, don't share your results. Here we go. Mm-hmm. And I can live with that. In this simulation, the Magic ended up number 4 overall. Chicago ended up 9. So
look at New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans. There you go. New Orleans, 13.9% chance of a top 4 pick. And they ended up number 1
and
overall.
And the 3% chance of the number 1. And they get it. So there you go,
and
guys.
They get it.
You're playing the gambling games.
we're literally playing Russian roulette when it comes down to lottery odds and where you're going to end up and everything like that. Yeah, I didn't plan on bringing this up on today's podcast, but I just realized we haven't really recorded since I went through and kind of went through like the last 11 drafts and where teams weren't supposed to end up in the top four that ended up in the top four. I feel like that might make people feel at least somewhat better, because I don't know about you, Luke, but as I was going through that, I was like, okay, I feel better than I did beforehand. When you look at the numbers and you see just how often it has happened over the past few years, the past 11 years, like, it's got to make you feel at least a little bit better, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing, and people get so mad about it. But, I mean, if you look at – let's see if I can pull this up here. If you look at, you know, the tankathon.com, you know, you look at the percentages. Right now, the Magic being tied for fourth, essentially, that would be solved with a tiebreaker, as we talked about. But, I mean, you got a 3.3% worse chance of getting the number one overall pick than the top three. So if you can get fourth, then, you know, Toronto at seventh has a 7% chance of getting the number 7.5 chance of getting the number one pick, while, you know, top three at 14. So essentially you're basically double if you're in the top three, which is great. But like 14%, that's not high. Regardless, like, no matter how you cut it, 14% is still not good. That doesn't mean that you're going to get a top, you know, a number one pick. So, there's a lot of percentages. People want to act like it's the end of the world when the Magic win a game now. Don't get me wrong. Every game is pivotal. But I'm not, you know, freaking out about it yet. This last week is going to be very stressful, though, I will say, with all the different things that are going to be happening.
Well, we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. I know Luke has done some good research and is going to bring us some facts about this upcoming week. But I'm really hoping that Orlando ends up fourth and it doesn't come down to, like, tiebreakers and stuff like that. Three or four, like, obviously you'd rather be three. But four, I believe if you're solid at four, you're going to have something like a 48% chance of ending up in the top four, which is pretty good. I think right now the numbers are skewed on Tankathon just because there is that three-way tie. But we'll really just have to wait and see. So I'm just going to read verbatim what I tweeted out a few nights ago. And even David Steele, for all the haters out there, found this information compelling. So here is a thread to make everyone feel better. In the last 11 drafts, so from 2010 to 2020, out of 44 top four picks, 11 times four, 13 or 29.5% of the top four picks that were awarded to teams that finished the season outside of the top four in terms of lottery projections. This has also happened the last four drafts in a row where a team that finished outside of the top four in lottery projections ended up with a top four pick. A whopping 10 of the 13 picks were awarded to teams that finished as low as seventh in lottery projections. This has also happened at least for each of the last four drafts in a row where a team that finished seventh, eighth, ninth, lower than that, vaulted up into the top four. In 2019, of the four teams that ended up in the top four, three finished seventh or lower. So I'm going to give a list of the picks, where they ended up and where they were projected. So 2020, Charlotte ended up third, was projected eighth. 2020, Chicago ended up fourth, was projected seventh. In 2019, this was where things really got crazy, Luke. We just saw a replay of this in the Tankathon that we just ran. New Orleans in 2019 ended up first, were projected to finish seventh. Memphis finished second, was projected eighth. The Lakers were projected fourth, ended up fourth, were projected 11th. 2018, Sacramento finished second, they were projected seventh. 2017, Sacramento again, I don't know how they really keep screwing these picks up, finished third, were projected eighth. That pick actually went to Boston. 2014, Cleveland was first, was supposed to be ninth. 2013, Washington was third, supposed to be eighth. 2011, the Clippers, they didn't realize they were going to be trading the number one pick overall to Cleveland, but they got first, were projected eighth. And the Nets that year, third, projected sixth. 2010, Washington ended up first, projected fifth. Philadelphia ended up second, projected sixth. So I feel like that's anything. I don't know about you, Jeff. Do you feel like that is anything?
Yeah, I mean, of course it is. And that just plays into how terrible these chances are of getting a number one pick. Obviously, you want to be in that top four or top three, so you have pretty much a coin flip's chance at a top four pick. But, you know, otherwise, getting the number one pick is not a guarantee. As we've seen, and as you just listed, getting a top four pick isn't a guarantee either. So yeah, it's all lottery. It's called the lottery for a reason, and that's all it is. So whatever happens on lotto night is going to happen, and nothing we can really do about it. So
yeah, it just goes to show you that it's like literally just a crapshoot. Like, you have no idea what's going to happen, especially with the new odds that were implemented in 2019. The first year of the new odds, everything went crazy. New Orleans finishes first. Memphis finishes second. The Lakers finished fourth. The only team that ended up that was supposed to be there was the team that finished third, and I don't have that in front of me. But nobody knows what's going to happen. As stressed out as we're going to be, just because that's just the way that it's going to work out, I don't think we have a choice of that. It's just how our brains work. We don't have any control over it. So you might as well just try to relax, even though that we won't really be able to. But it's honestly really just going to be a crapshoot. So, Luke, before we really start talking about a couple of the topics that we had and really start talking about the end of the season, I wanted to ask you specifically about last night, the Magic losing 128-96. I chalked this up to a lot of the guys, one being out, but I think they're really like smelling the end of the season. Like, this is the last home game of the regular season. You're going to be on the road all week, and then it's the off season. You're going to be on vacation and everything like that. Do you think there's any substance to that thinking, or am I off base?
Oh, I mean, what, a week, 2 weeks ago, I was already telling you that defense was sucking because the team knows it's the end of the season. They know that the standards, they're not being held to a high expectation besides Cliff. Front office doesn't even care if they suck, so and would probably encourage it. And you saw that by
Yo, you guys suck tonight. High fives. Oh my God. You guys are so bad. We love it. High fives.
Yeah.
Like Jeff Weltman's just walking into the locker room, just clapping away after that Minnesota loss.
Clapping. Shirts off. Tie only. Yeah.
Wow, bad visual.
Well, there you go. I definitely think there's substance to that. I was saying it 2 weeks ago. And I think now more than ever, it's true. You have the Magic that last night could have gone into that game thinking, fans don't care, front office doesn't care. The fans actually are tweeting at us to lose. And, you know, I don't mean, you look at last night. I mean, Sindarius Thornwell plays 22 minutes because he has no other choice. Plays more than Dante Hall. Goes 1-for-7 from the field. That's just rust, right? Probably hasn't played in a while. Cole goes 4-for-13. Dwayne Bacon actually has a good night, 7-of-12 shooting, 18 points. Brazdeikis, 16 points on 11 shots. So, yeah, I definitely think that there's some sluggishness. No denying that. Last night was so ugly, man. And then to lose by that much to the Timberwolves, who are terrible. Like, the Timberwolves are bad. But, you know, I've gotten a boost since, you know, D'Angelo Russell
came back. We have the exact same record.
So we have the same record and still managed to lose by as much as we did. Didn't break 100. The T-Wolves scored 128. What other defensive theories do you want? They scored 128. So yeah, last night was terrible, but it was good for the tank, so I'll take it.
Magic were literally down 40. I'm looking to see like what the biggest lead of the game was. It's somewhere around 40 for the Timberwolves. Like, this game in the third quarter was just like really, really out of hand. Magic closed the gap a little bit and lose by 32, but yeah, that's, I mean, Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell were all playing really, really well tonight. Like, Anthony Edwards is like shooting the ball like almost well lately, like from three. Like he's got like dribble moves, he's got the step back jumper. Like the beginning of the season, I just thought he was going to be, you know, like just like a pure athlete. And the fact that he's been able to progress a little bit as a shooter, and then Towns ending the night with 27 points. D'Angelo Russell, a little inefficient, but 27 points. And yeah, Dwayne Bacon, your leading scorer again, ladies and gentlemen, the Dwayne Bacon show. So, but one bright spot that
scorer.
I know that
it
we
was put some respect on RJ Hampton's name. He wasn't leading scorer last night.
Excuse me. Yes, Dwayne Bacon off by 1 point to the great RJ Hampton. RJ, thanks Denver, mm-hmm. Hampton, as everyone has now come to know him as. So that's actually who we wanted to talk about. We wanted to talk about RJ Hampton. So you texted me today that, like, what we're seeing from RJ, like, is it legitimate or not? And I didn't have a good answer for you. So just to give you guys some context, the last five games, RJ is at least putting up better numbers than Cole. I think if you just look at the numbers, it doesn't tell the full story because Cole is playing against better competition. RJ is definitely getting the bulk of the garbage minutes, especially this week. Basically, you know, the three losses, most of his minutes probably came, you know, in garbage time. But the last five games, RJ Hampton in 31 minutes is averaging 17.4 points per game, shooting 47.8% from the floor, 42.9% from three, 70.8% from the free throw line, 6.8 rebounds, 6.2 assists. So, Luke, why are you not sure whether or not this is for real what we're seeing out of RJ right now?
Well, like we've, you know, discussed, he does play in garbage time, so I'm not positive. I know next year when guys like J.I. and Markell are back and the team's fully healthy, his numbers are going to take a hit. But the biggest thing that I'm focusing on, though, is his efficiency. Like you said, those last five games, he's, what, 6 for 14 from 3 on 2.8 attempts. I mean, he's averaging 17.4 points per game. The thing that's crazy to me, and this all comes with repetition, right? I mean, in Denver, no one really gave him confidence there. There was nobody that gave him confidence there. He has already played three more games in a Magic uniform than he did for the Nuggets. He's logged 314 more minutes in Orlando already. He played 9 minutes per game in Denver and has played 21 minutes a game in Orlando. He's seen an 8% usage bump. When these things happen, you're gonna see an escalation in his numbers. But the biggest thing is to look at his efficiency. And the efficiency wise, I mean, the last five games he's played really well. So I think that he's done. He's doing well. I think he is definitely trending upwards. And I think that next year could be an even better leap for him, being surrounded by better talent, but also getting minutes, unlike in Denver. I think it'll do wonders for him. And if he can end the season on a high note like he's been doing, which I don't see any reason he can't, he's getting the minutes, then that could put him in, you know, full head of steam going into, you know, summer league and preseason.
So if you look at, like, just RJ's, like, raw shooting numbers, so right now with Orlando, he's shooting 30% from three on 2.6 attempts, which is up from 27.8%, but just on 0.7 attempts a game in Denver. So a lot of that is just wasn't getting, you know, a lot of playing time, probably had a pretty short lease playing for the Nuggets. But right now, if you look at in Orlando, from corner threes, RJ is shooting 45%. Small sample size, he's only taken 11 and made 5 of those attempts. But I think that's promising. Even in Denver, on really the whole season, 3 of 7 shot 43% from the corner 3. So I think looking at that, you look at his shooting form, which really isn't ugly at all. Like I think he has a pretty nice and smooth shooting stroke. I feel like RJ can definitely become a better shooter, you know, over the next few years. If you look at his free throw percentage, 68% on the year, nothing really that you want to go crazy about. But again, I feel like the potential is there for him to become a good shooter. Mike Miller, you know, an all-time great shooter, absolutely believes that RJ is going to become a really good three-point shooter. So if Mike Miller believes in him, who are we to say otherwise? But I feel like there are probably, I've tweeted this out a couple of times, there's like 3 to 4 plays a game where you're like, if that guy can do that on a regular basis, he's a guy that could potentially become an all-star. And when you David Steele had his, you know, is this anything the other night, and it was talking about the amount of layup attempts RJ has a game, and, you know, he's finishing those at like 60-something percent, which, you know, since he's been traded is like one of the highest like accuracy attempts in the league. I don't really have the answer on why that is. I don't think it's just because of his blinding speed, and I don't think his handles are spectacular yet. Definitely have seen an improvement over the last few weeks. The handle has become tighter, but I don't have the answer for why that is, why he's getting to the rim so easily and why he's able to finish at such a rate. Maybe a lot of it is because he's playing in garbage time, but like, he does jump off the screen at you at times, but it's not to the point where I'm like, oh, this guy is going to be like a NBA starting caliber point guard for his entire career. He definitely can get there. The potential is there. I'm not sold, but like you said, with everybody coming back next year and this team being healthy, he's not going to have quite the opportunity that he has, where right now he's almost in like that kind of like sixth man role almost. I don't think he's going to have the same opportunity next year, but if he can average like, you know, 22 to 25 minutes a game, averaging like 8 to 10 points, and if he's able to become like a really good defender, I'm not going to be mad at that at all. I definitely think Michael Carter-Williams being on the team anytime in the foreseeable future is going to be a real threat to RJ's minutes. And then just to kind of go back to these jerseys, I was staring at a Terrence Ross jersey. So I already have a Jonathan Isaac jersey, but I was like, I just don't know if Terrence is going to be on the team 4 months from now. So because of that, I kind of hesitated. Before we start getting into like the last week of the season here, is there anything that you wanted to add to the RJ conversation?
No. I mean, he's getting opportunity. He's making the most of it, and I think that they're, you know, he's got all the tools in the world to get to that point where he could be playing valuable minutes next year.
All right. So Luke put together, you know, some nice info for us as it pertains to the last, you know, the final week of this season, the opponents that we're going to be playing and kind of what their situation is. So Luke, if you want to take it, I'll let you take over there.
Yeah. So looking at this, all this was supplied with, you know, via Tankathon and their strength of schedule stuff and all those things. But the Magic currently have the second toughest remaining schedule in the league. The remaining games are the Bucks, Hawks, and Sixers, who they play twice. The Bucks game, they should lose. The Bucks are currently the 3 seed. They're half game behind the Nets. You know, I think that they've got the floor of being the 3rd seed, but a ceiling of even being the 1st seed, because they do hold a tiebreaker over the Sixers. Though that possibility of that happening is pretty slim. Their remaining schedule is, you know, Spurs, Magic, Pacers, Heat, and Bulls. 22nd hardest strength of schedule remaining for them. And tonight, if they win against San Antonio, then they will they'll be tied with the Nets for 2nd, and they own that tiebreaker. So I say all that to say it's misleading to look at strength of schedule, because situationally that could mean a lot of different things. Milwaukee, if they were locked into their seed, you could assume that against Orlando this week that they'll sit Giannis, Chris Middleton maybe. But looking at that and the fact that they could go up to the 1st seed, and, you know, that happens, you know, that would mean they surpass the Sixers. That would mean that the Sixers finished 1-3, which is unlikely, while the Bucks go 4-1, including their game tonight. So
which they are right now. I really don't know. 23 at half against the Spurs. So that's good for us if the Bucks lose and need to beat the Magic.
Right. Yeah, that's very good. And geez, I didn't even see that score either. That's crazy. Yeah, 87
to 64.
It's pretty rough. So then, you know, they've got Magic Pacer, Magic next. They're going to be in alert mode. They want to try to gain some ground on Brooklyn. I think we will see all those guys play. The only reason you might not is because it is a back-to-back, but I would be surprised, I think, if Giannis doesn't suit up and play. But then the Magic should lose that game tomorrow, which will be good for the tank. Then they play the Hawks. They should lose because the Hawks are in a competitive mode right now. They, you know, they're currently the 5th seed, but I think they could drop as low as a 7th seed. They could get as high as the 4th seed.
The remaining schedule is the Wizards twice, who are really hot right now. And then the Magic Rockets, who are terrible. But the Hawks have the second easiest remaining schedule. So they really should be in a mode to just win all those games and get as high as they can. Then you go to the Sixers, right? The Sixers, depending on how these next two games go for the Sixers, it really does dictate how they will handle the Magic, I think, the last two games of the year. If the Sixers win these next two games, they have locked in the number one spot. So if they lock in that number one spot in these next two games that they've got, then which is Pacers Heat, I believe, then I think we could see Joel, Simmons, all those guys sitting for the last two games of the year. So we need the Sixers to lose one of these two games coming up, which is possible against the Heat.
So Hawks just beat the Wizards 124-125. That game came down to the wire. And then we're, you know, lottery scoreboard watching. Cavaliers are about to lose to the Pacers. It seems like Pacers have the ball up five with 32 seconds left. So this week is obviously it's the end of the season, and it's all going to come down to, in my opinion, I think those Sixers games, like you talked about, they have the ability to lock up the one seed. But it, you know, if they lose, you know, a couple of games at the beginning of the week, then all of a sudden the Magic games are much more important to them. We don't even have a tip off yet for that Sunday game against the 76ers. I think like a lot of the tip offs for like Saturday and Sunday, I believe, are all like to be determined. I'm looking at ESPN, the schedule, like not a single game this weekend has a time for it. And I don't really know why that is. I don't know, Luke, if you have any insight into that.
Yeah.
But yeah, all the games this week, Shams, just nobody knows what time they're playing right now.
Yeah. So Shams actually tweeted out earlier today, I believe, before tweeting out that J. Cole is signing a deal with the Basketball Africa League. He tweeted out, for the NBA's final day of the regular season on May 16th, all 30 teams, 15 games, will play in the afternoon starting between 12 and 3:30 Eastern. All six games on Saturday will be between same afternoon times. So it looks like we're going
to
have a lot of afternoon basketball.
That's really weird to me. To me, it feels like that's out of nowhere. Like, why are we doing this? I'm totally fine with it. I love weekend early afternoon games, like right in the middle of the day. But it just seems really, really strange. I don't understand the reasoning behind that. And it's weird that, you know, we're like 4 or 5 days out and just nobody knows what time these games are. You know, I mean, it's good that they have a window, but I don't know. I guess we'll end up seeing. But I do like the fact, you know, looking at the strength of schedule, the T-Wolves, who were right there with their 17th in toughest schedule. Cavs are 12th. OKC is third, so it sounds like they're right behind us. You know, we're probably not catching them. And then the Pistons, 18th toughest. So it's gonna need some luck. We're going to need these teams to win games that they probably don't want to win this week for us. So, again, that we can really be solid in that top 3 to 4 without having to worry about the tiebreakers. I don't know when the NBA would decide those tiebreakers. Do you know if they decide them like at the conclusion of the regular season, or is that something they would do leading up to the draft lottery? Or is that like, hey, we're about to do the lottery in 5 minutes, guys, let's do these tiebreakers? Because that would really be bad to all of a sudden be like, oh
yeah,
the lottery starts in 20 minutes, we have a chance to end up, you know, with the top three odds, and oh great, we're going to be sixth instead of third. Like, that would just really suck if that happens. So we'll have to keep an eye on that for sure.
Yeah, I have no idea when they do that. I'm sure they'll announce it soon, because it's not every season you have a tiebreaker for lottery odds. So I'm sure that's just something they'll take care of when the season ends in terms of announcing it.
And then the other thing, Luke, that we've kind of talked just briefly about that we're still waiting for is the summer league schedule, just because you and I have kind of talked about maybe potentially, you know, if they're even allowed to have fans at summer league, that would be really, that'd just be an awesome trip to go and see and just watch like all of the top young talent in the league, especially the Magic, who this summer league team, if we end up with a top four, top five pick, will be absolutely stacked. When you think about RJ Hampton and Cole Anthony, Chuma Okeke, another, you know, top four, top five pick, whatever. Like, this team really should be quite good, this summer league team. So that would be really dope to go to. But Luke, this is going to be one of our shortest episodes ever. Luke and I talk every single week like, hey, let's try to keep this episode pretty short. And each week we just go into like hour and 15 minutes and everything like that. So what do we do with ourselves right now? Are we just going to keep talking for another 40 minutes or is that about it? I don't really have much else, man. It's the end of the season. It's going to be like just a sigh of relief once it's really over.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm ready for the season to be over. I'm ready for us to start a countdown till lotto night. Once lottery night hits, I think then things will probably pick up speed a little bit. But right now it just feels like the season's kind of dragging. So yeah, I think we end up cutting it a little short tonight, Jonathan, and give these guys a break from us. And, cause we'll be bringing, you know, probably hour long episodes again very soon, probably next week. I have no idea.
Well, what I would say first of all is just if you guys have been listening and you've listened to every single episode this year, like from the bottom of my heart, thank you guys, because if people don't listen to the show, there's no point in us doing the show. And it has been such a tough and crappy season. For you to, one, follow the team and watch the games, and then to go out of your way to listen to more about the team sucking and losing really says a lot about you and your fandom. But we love doing the show, and we thank you guys for listening. Again, if you guys don't listen, there's really no point in us doing the show. But even though the season is coming to an end, we are putting together, Luke, what I think is really like a killer off-season schedule. We have so many good guests lined up. Like, I really think you guys are going to go nuts. With just some of the episodes that we're going to put together and some of the guests that we're going to be able to bring on the show this summer. So we're really looking forward to that. So even though the season is coming to an end, the show is not coming to an end. We're still going to be continuing to put out episodes each Monday. It probably will just be Monday. We probably won't have too many bonus episodes over the summer unless something crazy happens. But yeah, off season, you have some awesome guests to look forward to. We'll have lottery night. Obviously, we'll have the draft. We'll have free agency and all that stuff as well later in the season. So, Luke, anything else?
No, I think we're good to go. I think we'll let these guys stop hearing us, and we'll get back to it next week.
Awesome. All right, well, for Luke, this has been Jonathan. You guys are listening to The Six Man Show. Thank you so much for listening. We will catch you guys next time. See ya.
Thanks for listening to The Six Man Show. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher to get new episodes downloaded directly to your phone. Please take a minute to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It would really help us out a lot. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram @SixManShow and like us on Facebook. We'll catch you guys next time. Go Magic!